Are gathered here now to call upon Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to a place of hope. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, for His name forgives you all of your sins, as He calls your name for the Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus to set them free to touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. When Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For thus says the kingdom of God. Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up. But his hands on them and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. work. So it's saying, yes, you renounce it. You renounce all these ways. So it's saying, yes, I renounce them. Do you believe in God?
Always be a watchful spirit, and so
with you. Let us pray together to call it today. We pray, stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, and all the rest of us. May you see the beauty of God. grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. The text for our sermon today is the Old Testament reading from Malachi chapter 3, which references just a little bit of what we read. It also goes hand in hand with what we just heard in our gospel reading. John the Baptist going and baptizing people in the wilderness, preparing them for the coming of our Lord. Well, Malachi is preparing God's people for the second coming of the Lord. He's preparing the God's people. What he says is that in order to be prepared, we need to be pure in heart. We need to be cleansed and clean. And thankfully, we have a God who is willing to do all the dirty work necessary in order to make us accepted. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I learned something this week about doing the dishes. I know it's kind of a strange way to start a sermon, but just bear with me for a second. And maybe this is already common knowledge, I don't know, but I learned that when liquid dish soap was first invented, available to the public about 50 years ago. So most people washed their dishes differently back then than they do today. We're talking about, of course, the dishes that you would do by hand, right? So not really discussing things that you would put into an automatic dishwasher that's in a separate pan. Everything that you would hand wash, it seems as though there's new trends today for how people go about that. Current research shows that just over 60% of Americans, so over half the majority of Americans today, like to use what we could refer to as a clean-as-you-go method, which means that most people today are just washing one or two dishes at a time as they become dirty. So, like, maybe even as you're cooking, you might actually start to wash a dish or two along the way, something like that. And that's supposed to save time compared to having, like, that big giant mountain of dishes at the end of the meal that takes, you know, over an hour to get through, or whatever the case might be. And I guess it makes sense that people would wash their dishes that way. I don't think I've ever consciously thought about it before, but I get why somebody would do that. But the reason why this is even an issue to discuss at all is because 50 years ago, liquid dish soap was invented, designed in order to accommodate more of that big mountainous tile method of doing the dishes. And so this has become like a, it's definitely a first world problem. But it's become this thing where people are noticing if they wash one or two dishes at a time, and as they go, that they're using too much dish soap. Like, even if you just put a little bit onto the sponge or onto the dish directly, you're using more of that waste in that method than you would if you were going to use a big giant mountainous column on the dish. So, because those are the trends, that's why about 5 years ago, Procter & Gamble invented this. This is Dawn Power Wash, and it is the best thing ever. I love Dawn Power Wash, and I don't care who knows it. You spray it on, you watch the magic chemical bubbles do their thing for a few seconds, you wipe it off, you rinse, and you're done. It's absolutely amazing. And you can use it for more than just dishes. So, like, for me, as a pastor, I've got this portable communion kit, right? And I have to go and bring communion to people, and I've got these individual glass cups. And now, I can just use power wash, and the whole process goes a lot quicker, right? Or even, like, the barbecue stuff, when I need to clean the grates for my smoker, and you just have to stand there and scrub and scrub and scrub, and use way too much soap, and now I can just use the power wash. And it just goes away. It's absolutely amazing. I love it. You ever, I know this is an old reference, but you ever see one big factory play? You know how, like, the 80s father thinks that with the car wash. Like, I'm spraying it on everything. The other day, I sprayed it onto the front of the minivan to get the bark dust off of it. Like, it's absolutely amazing. I'm sorry to start the sermon with a commercial, I promise. I'm not being paid by Power Wash to promote their product. But what a time to be alive, seriously. And I don't know when a person is officially considered to be middle-aged, but I think when you start getting excited about cleaning products, that might be one indication of that. Power Wash, believe it or not, is actually related to the overall theme of this second Sunday night. Because today, everything that we have in the service, including the fact that we have baptism today, all of it points us to cleansing and purification, not of dishes, right, but of our souls. And our God is the one who has come up with something a lot better than just dish soap to deal with. He's come up with the power wash of the gospel. His word of grace and forgiveness and all of his promises, he bathes us in his mercy, even when sometimes we've got stains on us that seem absolutely impossible to remove because they're so bad. Today, this now in the college today, the prayer that we prayed together, we ask the Lord to stir up our hearts so that we can be able to serve him with pure minds, so we have this purity and cleanliness. Starts when God removes the grease and the grime of our sin. This is what he does through the blood of his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. But purity also means that we strive to live a life that is clean, a life that is pure, that we would say and do the things that Jesus would say and do a lot less than what the filthy world around us would say. Purity is obviously something that we all need more of in this life. I think it's easy for us to kind of nod along and agree with each other when we start to think about how. How does one become pure? How does God stir up this kind of purity in our hearts? That's when it starts to maybe get a little bit dicey. Unfortunately, the process of becoming clean and pure in a spiritual sense is not or something in this, the harder it is to clean. I mean, that's just life, we understand that. And the more that sin causes my dirty dishes to pile up in the sinks of our lives, the more time and effort and energy it would take to take care of all that, the more elbow grease we would need to use if we tried to remove every single speck of dirt in our lives. But the reality is, dishes pile up a lot faster than we can. The work is overwhelming to the point that it literally is impossible for us to take care of this problem. Now, thankfully, we have a God who is no stranger to hard work. And that's what we hear about in this Old Testament reading. We talk about the prophet Malachi. That's the prophet we don't hear a lot from over the years, but here he is today in chapter 3. He's talking about refining, like a refiner's fire, and he also mentions fuller's soap. So, we'll talk about that for a second. So, with refiner's fire, we're talking about the process for removing any of the impurities out of precious metals, right? Like gold and silver, it has to be refined. It needs to go through this process, which involves a lot of heat, a lot of fire. You take that gold and silver, and you bring it to the molten level, and then there's that dross that skim off the top. It's actually a really fascinating process, but it's very difficult. And fuller soap is also pretty interesting, maybe even more interesting. It's been a few years since we had this reading on the Sunday morning, and I know I've been talking about this before, but in case you don't remember me talking about it, fuller soap is kind of like a type of clay. And so it's used to purify or remove impurities from gold. Right? So the soap is first used, but it's not just the soap. It's also the fact that gold is to be laid out in the sun to be bleached. And then when all of that is done, there's all this pounding and beating that has to take place over and over and over again. So the process of purifying gold is a very difficult one too. So basically, you put all that together and you look at what Malachi is saying here, that purification in a spiritual sense comes in this very difficult way through fire, through all this beating and all this kind of cleansing. I don't know about you, but it doesn't sound like a lot of fun to me. And we actually do see that similar theme, like I mentioned before. Gospel reading that we have, John the Baptist, he's out there in the wilderness and he's preaching, besides doing all the baptizing, he's preaching a baptism of repentance. The things that he's discussing in this passage really involve a lot of hard work. He's addressing the crowd. First of all, the first thing he does is call them names, because he calls them a brood of vipers, right? So you know that John means disease. And then they're all asking what they ought to do, right? So the ones with two tunics are told to give one to the poor. The tax collectors who come to him are told not to defraud anybody. They need to be honest with people. The ones that are soldiers come to him and he says that they need to stop threatening people and extorting things from them. So John the Baptist, as he's preaching all these, he is the forerunner. So John himself is not going to be the one to do all of the difficult cleansing. That's not his job. That's Jesus' job. So John is pointing people forward to Jesus, who is coming to perform this great purification in the world. To do the hardest and dirtiest work imaginable. So these people come to be baptized by John, and that's a wonderful first step. But John is pointing people to the one who would come to baptize them with something a lot stronger, right? Not just soap, not power wash. He's coming to baptize with the Holy Spirit. He's coming to baptize with fire. That's what John says. So we have a God who looked down at the world and saw what kind of dirty, disgusting, and he knew how difficult it would be to clean us. Right? I mean, he could see how big the amount of dishes became. But yet, thankfully, our God did not stop for 1 second. He sent Jesus into this world to take care of all. And by take care of everything, Jesus endured the painful part of the cleansing, the stuff that Malachi was talking about, so that you and I wouldn't have. So if you talk about the refiner's fire, the scorching heat of that fire, that's not experienced by you and me. That is when Jesus actually literally endured hell as he was upon the cross. He felt those flames. He felt that heat. Talk about all the pounding and the beating of the fuller soap. Well, that was felt by Jesus in his body as he was flogged and struck and crucified for you. God raised his son from the dead. Now, what he uses to cleanse us is his word through the sacraments. He uses them to break down all of that sin in our lives. Kind of like a spiritual power wash, but not with a magic chemical bubble to it. With God, it's forgiveness, it's grace. And so he and all of us who have also been baptized, we have absolutely nothing to fear as we look forward to the last day, to the day when Jesus will return and will cleanse everything and make everything new again, the day that every spot and blemish in this sinful world will be blasted away. more fear. It means no more distance. It's pretty awesome. It's a day that we will shine brighter than the shining sun. It's a day when we will wear robes that are whiter than the whitest wool in the tree. When the refiner's fire and the fuller's soap to all of the suffering that we bring. When it's time to be alive, the most precious day in our Savior Jesus. Now may the peace of God which surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds in truth and in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're also lifting up in prayer Kevin Herfer, who's suffering from not one but two back surgeries this past week. If it all went well, he is hoping to return home to the hospital early this next week. And also, John Hartford is going to be having a procedure this coming Friday to treat an atrial fibrillation heart that will be happening up in Springfield. So we'll be lifting him in prayer. Let us stand as we go to God in prayer. For the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Holy God, you sent your Son to purify us, that we might be righteous and holy before you. Deliver us from the love of sin, which defiles us and stains our works. Cleanse our hearts by your grace, so that we may delight in your promises and our works be pleasing to you. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, as you sent John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord, set forth pastors and missionaries to declare your saving word to the nations. Preserve them from temptation, protect them in suffering, and equip them with every good gift to make known to Christ who still comes to save. Be with all of our partners in mission ministry, especially our sister congregation of our Savior, Lutheran in Carmel, and their ministry. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as you call and gather us into your family, so bless the households of this congregation. We rejoice with those who are celebrating birthdays, including Callie, Anne, Ethan, TJ, Lisa, Jace, April, Emily, and Gary. Bless husbands and wives, fathers and mothers as they go about their work of strengthening marriage, raising children, shower your love and grace upon those who are celebrating wedding anniversaries, including Charles and Eileen Tornhausen. Let their love abound more in the morning today. We also, once again, thank you for the baptism of Hayes Thomas Lucifer, and ask your blessings and grows into the family of God that you have given to me. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, oppose John the Baptist council of penitent soldiers to go about their military duties according to your will. Remember those who serve in the armed forces, especially Michael, Dayton, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Alex, Isaac, Patty, Boston, Moore, Joyce, Daniel, Bailey, protect them from harm, give them wisdom and courage, and pray for that they fulfill their duties honorably. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, your forerunner prepared the way for the one who is once your son, your son Jesus Christ. For his sake, we entrust to you those in need of healing, comfort, and rescue, especially all who are on our prayer list, including all who are in care facilities, Dorothy, Greta, Eula, Janice, Jean, Charles, and Dan. We lift before you Kevin as he recovers from these surgeries. We also ask you to be with John as he faces his upcoming surgery in your spiritual, the food, and all those who are facing cancer. Have mercy upon them, deliver them according to your will, strengthen them in faith, that they might be assured of your faithfulness. Lord, your mercy. Gracious Lord, you sent John the Baptist to prepare all flesh to see the salvation of God. Prepare also the hearts of all who kneel at your altar today to receive worthily Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and that lives and reigns with you, Holy Spirit, one God, and now and forever.
Overcomes
your boundless mercy, send your servant John the Baptist to proclaim that in Christ the kingdom of heaven draws near. With thankful hearts, we pray, come, Lord Jesus, confident that in his body and blood given us seed and truth, we receive the forgiveness of sins, so proclaim his death until he comes again in truth. Hear us as we pray in his name and ask his taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, You've given us the foretaste of the feast to come in the holy supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days, those feasts, that on the day of this coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has gone. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and bring to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn is the way of manger, number 364. Celebrate the coming of God in the next couple of weeks. But one thing I wanted to point out to you, Wednesday, you're going to have another busy Catholic service. What a blessing this last week was. We had over 150 in attendance. We had so many people coming to the dinner that we bring it all to you. We're going to make sure that we're going to have plenty this week. So please come and enjoy the feast this coming Wednesday, 5:15. We start serving 6:30. It's when we will begin worship here in the sanctuary. And also, something that I wanted to live activity there before the Christmas concert.